Welcome to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts. They are all providing real value and insights on business and life. In my book, in our book, they are real hits. Full episodes in their entirety. This way you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. This episode is from the Normalize Podcast with Linda Healer. That's the Normalize Podcast with Linda Healer. And it is episode 14. It is entitled Uncovering Business Lies and a Secret Sauce for Success with Ben Albert. That's right. You guessed it. I am the guest on this episode. It was episode 14 of the Normalize Podcast. It came out last June, maybe May time. And wow, I mean, it's a little bit old. It's from the vault. But all the insights, all the strategies here still reign true, of course, today. And I find that I've sharpened the saw. I think my messaging's better. I think my tactics are better. I think my relationships are better. My connections are better. Everything's better. But I wanted to play this one from the vault because it was really at the inception of a lot of these ideas when I started to realize I was onto something great. And Linda did a great job of bringing that out of me. And it's an incredible conversation. So let's not talk anymore. I want you to listen to this episode. I do encourage you to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to the Normalize Podcast. Of course, one more thing. If you want to be the next featured podcast, the next episode, the next featured host and show on Real Hits, submit your podcast to ben@balbertmarketing.com. That's ben@balbertmarketing.com. Or you can message me on LinkedIn. Reach out to me. Easy to get in touch with. I will respond to your message or call, and maybe the next episode can be you. So, hey guys, until next time, till I talk to you soon, enjoy this show.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Normal Lies Podcast. You could be listening to a myriad of other things. Thank you for taking time to be here with me. I appreciate the outpouring of support, and especially those of you who have taken the time to leave a review. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Go to Apple Podcast and click on Write a Review, or go to my website, normal-lies.com, click on the Review tab at the top, then follow the prompts. Every month, I choose one review to read on air. Who knows? I may choose yours. So go and leave a review. Ben Albert is my guest today. Ben started podcasting in 2016 when he launched Rochester Groovecast Podcast, where he highlights the local music scene and he admits also gets him into places for free. Over 100 episodes later, he has built the show into a top-ranked podcast. In 2020, Ben launched Rochester Business Connections, a podcast that highlights the Rochester business community. Over 50 episodes later, the podcast has been Ben's best networking source while building his business, Balbert Marketing. Ben is a breath of fresh air when it comes to the business world. You are about to hear how Ben's passion for personal development feeds off and into his passion for his business. If you're looking for a one-size-fits-all, easy approach to changing your life, this is not the podcast for you. However, if you're ready for a change, then you are in the right place. Listen to conversations that are real, raw, compelling, thoughtful, and believe it or not, fun. I'm Linda Healer, professional certified coach and host of the Normal Lies Podcast. During my 10 years of coaching, I have helped dozens of people change their lives simply by questioning the beliefs they thought were true. It's time to let go of stress and anxiety and be excited to get out of bed in the morning. life doesn't have to be so heavy. It's your turn to uncover the normal lies in your life. So I want to say welcome to my guest, Ben Albert.
Welcome, Linda. How are you?
I am doing well. And this has got to be really weird for you because you have done, well, now with your podcast, Rochester Business Connections, you've done over 50 podcasts.
Yeah. So my business podcast has been over 50 and my music podcast is right around the 120 mark. So a lot of hosting of podcasts and a lot of asking questions and having a beginner's mindset, but the tables are turned. And I got to admit, you could probably hear it in my voice. I'm a little nervous, Linda.
I love it. I love it. I am a novice, brand new to podcasting. So I was really grateful when you said that you would come on here. And I know with the guests that I have had in the past, I had an idea of what we wanted to talk about, you know, normal lies. And I have no clue where we're going with this. And I love it. I love that we're just going to kind of play with this. And I'm just so grateful that you have decided and given me permission to just kind of play along. So I'm really excited about this. And the other thing that I think that anybody listening should know, we really just had our first conversation 2 days ago. So I really don't know an awful lot about you. What really intrigued me was you actually started your business during the pandemic about 6 months ago, right?
Right.
So what was the process that made you go, hey, everything's shut down, but I'm going to open a business?
It's kind of when you start banging your head against the wall, eventually it starts to bleed. And you realize that your head's bleeding and you have to do something about it. And the reason that comes to mind is, you know, I'm in the marketing industry and I'm working from home. And I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. We had mentioned I have a music podcast that's been running for 6 years. And it's really just been a passion project, not anything I monetize, just something I do because I love it. So I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit, but I had never actually been an entrepreneur or started my own business or really dove deep into that. And when I'm with a marketing company and I'm working from home, everything I need to ultimately operate my business is in front of me. I can pick up my laptop and start my own. COVID, it a lot led up to COVID in my life, but ultimately COVID was that moment where I realized that I had been banging my head against the wall for too long. And now was a good time to take that risk, start my own company with nothing but this laptop right in front of me and see where it goes. Because I mean, with a disaster like that, if you look at 08-09, that's right around that time when Shopify and Amazon and HubSpot and a lot of big tech companies got their start. You know, let's take this disaster as an opportunity to take a risk. Worst case scenario, I'm in a disaster scenario anyways. And it's humbling. I can't tell you that I am a million-dollar company yet, so we'll see what happens. But every day, like, I can't sleep at night, and I'm excited to get up in the morning because I'm doing something new and exciting.
Yeah, that's the key, right? Is being excited when your feet hit the floor rather than, oh my gosh, another day. How am I going to get through it? Well, you also were telling me that you started your business very differently than like a mainstream marketing, what's normally done. I think that this kind of ties into the normal lies that we think that this is the cookie cutter, this is how you have to do business, but you did things very differently. So tell people more about that.
Sure. And, you know, eventually I feel like I should write a book on it because there's so many moving parts. And I'll admit to you, Linda, I didn't have a system in place when I started it. I was just doing things I loved and things were falling into place and I was learning as I went. You know, I'm in the marketing industry, so I'm business to business, and I work with humans, and humans are people, and they have emotions, and they have lives. They're not just numbers on a page, and so much marketing is based around how many impressions am I getting, and how many, you know, how much am I paying per click, and what's the ROI on this effort. And I didn't take that approach at all. I took the approach, I'm going to hyper-focus on every single interaction I have. So it's not about having 1,000 impressions. It's about having 5 good impressions a day. And one thing I do when I'm asking for recommendations is I say, you know, Linda, I'm trying to meet 20 new people this week. And I'll be honest, I missed the mark by like 14 last week. And just trying to hit that number of getting to 20, even though that's a massive amount of people, and then having each interaction completely present and, you know, attention, human driven, trying to build a relationship with them and see if we're a good fit for each other. And this is all weaving around the fact that I started Rochester Business Connections because I realized with starting that podcast, I had this unique opportunity to talk to people that were already tremendously successful business leaders, basically sit down and have a coffee conversation with them. I had the opportunity to chat with them and realistically spread the word of my business as well. And it cost me no additional money than the equipment that was already on my MacBook and a couple microphones I already owned. So it's like, let's stop looking at this marketing strategy that I need to be everywhere and I need to reach as many people as possible. Let's find who I align with in terms of my values. Let's find who I can learn from and see if we can create a mutually beneficial relationship, which is basically what I'm building my marketing company on. It's having that more tailored approach that is human driven rather than just stats or numbers driven, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, that's one thing that I have learned in the years that I have had my business. Well, actually life is that we get more out of building relationships. That is, rather than having a business card and saying, here, this is what I do. I know for what I do, it is relationship based. Nobody's going to hire a coach unless they meet them and know them. And I think that with marketing, that's something I have struggled with. And I think a lot of, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say a lot of, especially women business owners, have a tough time with marketing because, and I'll speak for my experience, is that I can share what you do. I can share what organizations that I believe in. There's just no question about it. But when it comes to sharing me, I have this little voice in my head that says, oh, don't be so conceited. Don't talk about yourself. You know, don't think you're so great. And then I compare myself. So to me, I have had to practice getting over that and shifting that mindset to there are people out there who can actually benefit from what I have to offer. And I have to get over myself in order to attract those people. I know we talked a little bit about personal development, mindset work, and you started to tell me about how you base your business. And I stopped you because we had already decided we were going to do this podcast. So we saved this. So I'm really excited to hear what your response to that is.
Yeah. I mean, in response to what you just said, I feel like I'm the exact same way. When I started my music podcast and my music business, it was because I was a huge music advocate and found myself staying at shows late night. And I was a consumer, but not a contributor. And I've always been an advocate and a promoter. I'm like, why just stand in the audience? Let's be on the back end promoting the show. And I've always loved promoting and talking about other people. I like talking about systems of my success, maybe, but like I said before we started, I'm a little nervous because with your podcast, am I going to have to be vulnerable, Linda? I was nervous because one thing that I'm good at is making other people feel good and feel comfortable and promoting them. And a big struggle of mine personally, and I'm sure you can help me with this, is being vulnerable about myself and my past. And my one piece of advice just in marketing yourself as a business owner of, you know, any kind in any business is show as much gratitude and care as possible. Be that advocate, be that promoter, because what I love to do is I have a new weekly newsletter I send out, Gratitude Tuesdays, and all I do during Gratitude Tuesday is talk about why this person in my life, whether they're a mentor, a client, anyone in my life, I talk about how they have helped me and helped my success and why I'm so grateful to have them in my life. And I'm always journaling, writing down things that I'm grateful for. And the idea here is that by showing gratitude and by promoting others and by asking the question, how can I help you? Who can I introduce you to? How can I help you in your business? By saying, I'm sure you say it all the time as a coach, maybe I'm not the best fit. How can I figure out who is the best fit for you? By having that gratitude mentality, it's a great way to grow your relationships and grow your business. I call it gratitude marketing. I don't know if it's a coined term or not, but there's two things here. You know, I'm saying that gratitude's huge. And for example, if you have a prospect that you're trying to get in the door with, do something for free, send them a gift, write them a letter, find a way to show gratitude rather than calling them, asking them for something, give them value first. But the second thing here, Linda, is I'm curious, how do I get over the fact that I have a struggle with vulnerability and I have no issue being sensitive to other people's needs? But when you ask me the tough questions, people have said it a million times. I don't know. It's what I've said so much here. And any just general thoughts on your end?
Well, what specifically? So let me ask you this, and this may get into some coaching questions. So you let me know if we're going too far. You can say, I don't want to answer that. And I can edit anything that I want out of this too. So, so you can let me know. So be vulnerable. What would the benefit be for you to be more vulnerable?
That's a good question. I'm pausing because I don't know. I find that being action-driven and logical and rational has benefited me greatly. So I'm curious as just a listener how being vulnerable would benefit me more, because I've not been vulnerable and been fine the entire way. You know what I mean? It's just that I'm a millennial male. That could play a role in it. Maybe it's the way I was raised, but I'm not sure.
Well, and the thing is, you don't have to be. If you're doing fine and everything is great and what you're doing, you're happy, you don't have to be any more vulnerable. What I have found in my experience is, and it's what I talked about before, is that when I am more vulnerable and I share some of the things that I have been through, then I get people contacting me going, wow, me too. Thank you for having the courage to say that, because now I don't feel like I'm so alone. And so there's that connection. So for me, the vulnerability, it just deepens connection. But the other thing that I want to say, that vulnerability, just for the sake of vulnerability, I don't know. I don't know if that really works. So you don't have to.
In regards to like inauthenticity, like
yeah,
fake yeah, vulnerability.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. And people can pick up on that a mile away. The other thing is also oversharing. There are people who overshare, and it's like when somebody says TMI, you know, too much information, then that doesn't work either. So there is this balance. And I will tell you that I do share some things about me, but I don't share everything. There are some things that I am not ready to share and that maybe I won't be ready to share. So I think it's such a personal thing that I think that's great that you don't know. And as a coach, what I would say is, well, why don't you sit with that? And you also mentioned in our previous conversation that you meditated. So that might be something that you could maybe just sit with and meditate on that and see what shows up.
Yeah. It's the reason I don't have much to say is because I haven't figured this out, and having these conversations and maybe sitting with it and meditating is a good plan. Because when I say I haven't figured this out, as everyone says, you need to be vulnerable in business, and I haven't cracked the code. What does that mean? I don't want to show up to work crying. Obviously, that's not vulnerability. There's a stronger way of being vulnerable.
Yeah. So here's a practice for you. And so in coaching, we don't call it homework, but we call it practice work. And you have the choice to say yes or no to this. But if you were a client, I would say, would you consider doing either some journaling or, again, that just sitting with what does being vulnerable mean to you, and just see what comes up. And then think about it once you figure out, you know, you don't even know what that is. And then what benefit would it be to carry that meaning of vulnerability into your business? And just see. And I love it when clients believe it or not, when people say, I don't know. And because I don't know is a great place to be as long as we don't stop there. Mm. So it's don't stop where you normally stop. And we normally stop with, I don't know, rather than going, oh, okay, I don't know that. And I'll never forget when I was in coach training, one of the leader coaches, master certified coaches, said that when a client says they don't know, he says, well, if you did know, what would it be?
I like that.
Isn't that awesome? It's such a great question. So, okay. I love this. I love these conversations. So you are a marketing person who does personal development, because I didn't expect we would get into this conversation quite so soon.
Sure.
But so how does your personal development practices, how does that influence your business?
Yeah. A bunch of small parts always lead to that whole. And it's so easy, you know, back in the day when, for example, you're dating, you're as a guy, you're trying to figure out, oh, what's the next thing to say? How do I never run out of things to say? What's the best pickup line? How do I find the perfect person? I'm sure for gals, there's similar kind of questions on a different side of the spectrum. And you can memorize lines and you can have a routine, but at the end of the day, you're still you. And you can go into business and you can have confidence and be all talk, but if you are no show, and if you're not doing work on yourself every single day to make sure that you can fulfill your promises, you're ultimately doing a disservice to yourself. And then in turn, by doing a disservice to yourself, you're doing a disservice to your clients. So I read every single day. I'm meditating every single day. I journal every single day. I try to eat well, but I've been cheating on that. Maybe that's a little vulnerability. I can't seem to keep to a diet, but I want to do all the little things where I can show up and be as present with you as possible, be as energetic as possible, and realize that I'm not perfect and I'm maybe not where I'm going to be yet, but be as engaged and ready and excited in the moment, the specific moment as possible. And again, it's so easy to learn math. This is such a generalization. It's so easy to learn math and become an accountant, but to be the accountant that makes everyone in the office smile, that gets it done quicker, that has leadership skills, that brings them into maybe a more operations role or brings them into a higher leadership role, none of that's learned just by reading a book and then showing up and clocking in. You've got to be working on yourself every single day. So you've got a full spectrum of wellness in your life. I don't have a coach. I don't really have a mentor or a therapist right now. And that's one of the questions I ask myself. I'm like, is there something that I'm missing? Because I look at the Kobe Bryants of the world. I look at the presidents of the world. They have coaches and advisors around them at all times, because the most successful people are always working on themselves. And I wasn't a born marketer. I went to school for communication studies, but I wasn't refined to the marketing realm. And I am not the best marketer on earth. I was actually just joking on LinkedIn earlier today. My girlfriend was in a meeting for her, basically a work group. I forget exactly what it is throughout U of R. And Gary Vaynerchuk was basically hosting a seminar that she got to be a part of. And best-selling author of over 5 books. He's basically like a prophet in the world of influencer marketing and social media. And I'm not him. And I don't even know what brought me to Gary Vaynerchuk. I think I'm just super jealous that she got to see him and I didn't. But the idea is these people are always working on themselves and always getting better, but I can't compare myself to Gary Vaynerchuk. And I can't compare myself to who I was 5 years ago either, because I'm a different person then. And this is a whole just basically rambling way of saying that personal development is infused in everything I do in life. I can't turn it off. I'm always trying to figure out the why. I'm always trying to find the most optimistic mindset. And I'm always trying to treat business and marketing in that personal development mentality, knowing that I'm good. I'm not incredible yet. Maybe I am incredible, but I'm not the best yet. And it's always that just this leveling up, leveling up, leveling up. And I don't know the science behind it. I hope you really get a guest that understands the science. But from my experience and my observation, it's like the number one most important thing in my life. It wouldn't matter if I was in marketing, accounting. It wouldn't matter if I was a chef. Without this personal development, without reading, without learning, I don't know. I don't know where I'd be or what I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be myself.
Yeah, there was a lot there. That was good.
I was listening to myself speak and I was like, oh, Ben, you actually don't have a way of closing this thought loop. It's just going to go on forever if you don't stop talking.
No, I loved it. The thing that I loved about it is that we can't expect to be perfect at something right away. And I know for me, this is less than a dozen podcasts that I've done, and I got some feedback about some editing on one of them, and it just about crushed me. Mm. and it's okay. And they were kind. I mean, it was not brutal. It was not anything. It was just, hey, you might want to try this. And it bruised my ego. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and then again, that voice in my head starts talking. And then I have to cut myself some slack and go, Linda, you're new to this. Take the advice and just do better. Just do better next time. So I think that personal development work and conversations like this, knowing that there are other people out there, that you get that encouragement. Because I look at you and you've got like over 170 podcasts under your belt, and you know that is to me is so encouraging because you're just you. You're just a really likable guy and you're good at what you do and you just keep going. So for me, you are an inspiration. So thank you for being that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm willing to bet your 10 episodes are just as good as my top 10, though. It took me about,
I don't know,
150 bad ones to figure this stuff out. Don't let the little things like editing get to you because it gets easier in time for sure.
Yeah. So, and speaking of your podcasts, are there any moments from either one of the two podcasts? Do you have any moments that just really stuck out to you?
I mean, it's funny because I'm recording podcasts so much that I'm absorbing all the information and I find myself regurgitating it. I tell people all the time, I don't charge to talk about marketing because most of what I learned, you can learn from just listening to these podcasts and exploring yourself. Wow. I'd have to just kind of, can we tailor it to a specific question or topic?
Well, let's see here. What was the one, were there any that really brought up some emotion for you? We're going to get into the vulnerability part.
You know, it's funny because I feel like I'm so business oriented and at the same time so personal development oriented that I don't always get into the emotional realm all too much. It's more like let's find some action-based steps to get this thing done kind of thing. I feel like I could do a better job at creating emotion in my guests. I feel like I could ask questions, maybe incite that kind of story. But a lot of our conversations are action-oriented. You know, when I talked to Greg Taylor, we talked all about marketing and how to be a pay-it-forward person and be the kind of person that asks, how can I help you? How can I service you rather than how can you help me? And I, when it comes to the emotional realm, Linda, I think I'm lacking. This is like a therapy. I knew I was going to do this to you. I knew I was going to do this to you, but I don't really have very emotion-driven conversations very
well,
often.
Well, and that's okay. Sense. So, well, let's think about now. When you think of emotion, do you go to sadness, things like that, or were there any that just brought you joy? Anything, and even with the music. I mean, because you, think about those as well.
Well, one thing that was special for me was for my, for my 100th episode of my music podcast, I basically took a collage, a montage of 60 episodes and wrapped in all the insights from 60 episodes into like just over an hour podcast where I spoke for about 4% of it and the rest was just playing clips from my guests. And more recently, Flower City Station, which is a local venue that I love, I ultimately asked guests to submit responses, you know, their favorite experiences at Flower City Station and why they love Flower City Station. Basically had an entire podcast of just fan submissions of their best experience at a venue that we all love. And again, I swear what I always do, Linda, is I outsource the real stuff to everyone around me. I'm that advocate, I'm promoter. I'm like, let's find a way where I can take my guest and make them look good. So I really like those collaborative efforts because I don't like to walk in assuming that I know every single answer. So I like to look back at the things my guests have taught me and really just regurgitate the information. They're the real heroes at the end of the day.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's an awesome place to be. So let me ask you this question. So since you started your business, is there something that you thought was absolutely true about business or marketing or anything that you thought was absolutely true, but you have since learned that it's not, it's a lie?
This is observational data, obviously, but listening to podcasts and then my own specific experience, everyone says most businesses fail. Most businesses fail. Don't expect to have any revenue for the first 1 to 3 years. Expect to need loans. Expect to need a lot of debt. And I think in many cases that's true. I think especially, I've always wanted to have like a restaurant brewery, for example, and that would be expensive to get started in. And God forbid you started in COVID, that would be a whirlwind. But in many cases, especially in the 2020s that we live in, I started my business with a laptop. I started a business in the guest bedroom using a laptop. So I already knew that at least I had a low startup cost. So if I can make any revenue my first 3 years, that's a good thing based on the lie I was told that I wouldn't make any in the first 3 years. And I don't know the metrics of businesses succeeding or failing. But the way I see it in my mindset is I cannot fail. And if I do fail, I'm going to pivot and try something else. But I feel like if you're genuinely dedicated and you're not starting a business because you read an entrepreneurial book in college and think it would be fun, if you're starting a business that you've done data market research on, you're experienced in, if you're not willing to fail, I don't think you're going to fail. And if you do, let's take that failure, let's stand on top of it and move on to the next business. But this lie that don't start a business because you're going to fail and you're not going to yield revenue for 3 years. I don't know where that data comes from, but I really don't think it's true. And I think it's never been less true in a day and age where all you need is a cell phone and you can start your business. There's information to get you started. You cannot start a brewery with just a cell phone. We need to be realistic, but I don't want people to be afraid to start, especially if they're willing to commit to the fact that it's not going to be easy. But, you know, it's like that growth mindset versus fixed mindset. If I go in knowing that the probability is against me, probability is against me. I'm going in knowing that the probability is for me because I'm not going to allow myself to fail. And then again, I have to add in the asterisk, even if I do fail, I'll find another way to succeed. You know, it's a complete 180 on the lie that I think tries to keep people in their role where they're unhappy. A lot of people are unhappy at work and they can't find their way out. And everyone tells them if you try to find your way out, you're going to fail. And that's not going to help anybody, in my opinion. What do you think?
I can't add anything to that. I think you said it perfectly. And I definitely agree with the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. And I wish I could remember the name of the book. I took a positive psychology coaching course and we had to read this book.
I'm going to look it up real quick, but I think it's Carol Dweck.
Carol Dweck, I believe. I'll find the book.
Pretty sure it's called Mindset.
I think it is too. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And she talks about the science behind it, that just start something and don't give up. I mean, this idea that you have to know how to do it and have the talent. Some people can pick up a tennis racket and a tennis ball and they have the talent and they do really well. Other people have to work at it and they can work in it and you can get better. And I think that that's exactly what you are pointing to, is don't quit. Just keep going. Just keep practicing. You're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. Again, learn the lesson and move on. And there was something else that you said too that really resonated with me.
A small add-in, I want to say, quit if it's time to quit, but don't quit because someone else tells you a lie that you need to quit, because it's always the people closest to us. It seems like, not always, I hate that word always, but the people closest to us might say you really should quit and go back to what, you know, I wanted you to do. But realistically, there's a time to quit, but a lot of times it's got to come inside. It can't just come from feedback from even your loved ones. You know, it's easy to say I supported you once you're successful, but a lot of people do that. They wait till you're successful. I supported you all along. This is something that's hard, but you kind of have to make the decision on your own.
Yeah. And keep in mind that those people who are likely saying those things, they love you and they're concerned about you. And they probably know those statistics and are concerned that, hey, you know, this may not work out for you. And they don't, you know, our parents, our friends, our family, they don't want us to get hurt. Mm. And you also, the thing that you pointed to was basically that, again, that mindset, but that there's something inside of you that told you that it was time. It was time to leave your current position and just strike out and step out, take a leap of faith. I think that we need to really connect inside to what it is that's speaking to us rather than out here or that voice in our head. There's something underneath that voice of wisdom that we have to connect into. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did when you created your business. And you're still creating it from that place, from that inner wisdom.
Yeah, I like that. And the question I ask myself today, and I know I'll ask it more in 10 years, is how to not let go of that. Because to give you a very small example, when I started my business, all I did is network. I launched my business podcast. I did a 22-episode launch, an episode a day 5 days a week for the month of November. And all I did was network. And now that I have more regular clients, how do I maintain my current client relationships without losing the secret sauce that got me here today? I'm wondering, because you've been in coaching for 10 plus years, right? What do you do to not forget what got you to where you are? Like, how, because it's easy to be where you are and then stop doing the things that got you there, right? Is there anything you do to really stay refined and chipper in your coaching business?
So I'm going to bring back up the emotions.
Yeah.
What I do and what I have learned over the years and what I've seen clients do is you keep checking in and how are you feeling? Recently, I was way overtaxed. I had too much on my plate. It was all good stuff, but it was way too much. And I was overwhelmed. I saw I was getting frustrated and I was forgetting things and things were falling through the cracks. And I had to go, what's going on here? Because this is not who I am. This is not how I want to be. I guess the answer to your question is check in how you're feeling. If you're feeling good, then, you know, okay, you just keep going. And I say, you just do the next right thing in front of your nose, you know, because that's how you stay present. But if you find that you're upset, angry, sad, then check in. Something's kind of out of whack and you need to figure that out. Mm. If there's something in my business, like emails, I can't stand sending emails, sitting down and composing an email. But I've let that go too long and it is driving me crazy. It's right in the back of my head and it is an energy drain every time I think about it. It's like, okay, that's really draining me. I need to go take care of that now. So I don't know. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like you're very in touch with your emotion and you make the right decision that's going to lead you towards the path that you've been on for so long. I guess to double down on the question, the question is, like, I guess at the core, what got you to where you are today, Linda? Like, was there something specific that you did to create your business? Like, is there something that allowed you to expand your business and grow as a coach? And what did you do? And is it something you still do? Is it as simple as just being in touch with the energy around you, or is there anything more additional we could add to that?
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that.
No?
No, because I love that this has been kind of a conversation.
Yeah.
And this is about you. And you warned me. You warned me that because you are an awesome podcast host, that you would likely start asking me questions. So I'm going to save that because you have asked me to be on your podcast.
Okay.
So save that question for then. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, you're the boss. I was going to say, or at least do a solo episode and go 45 minutes on just that, because I know it's a loaded question. There's so much there that we can talk about on my show as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Tell me, is there a question that I should have asked that I didn't?
I like being low expectation in terms of what questions you're going to ask. I just wanted to sit down with you and have a conversation. I think you did an incredible job at keeping things natural, keeping them genuine. I guess if I were to just add something in, I don't think you missed a single question, but to throw one more lie out there that was on my mind, and this is me being vulnerable, I'm actually going to do it. So my father always told me, don't ask, don't tell. And what he meant by that was, there's laws, we don't always agree with them. Sometimes we might break them. Maybe we swear once in a while, but don't let people know that that's happening, and don't go around basically, you know, publicizing it, and then don't go around trying to pry information out of people. Just let it be. And it's okay advice, but from my experience, it was more a, I have a drinking problem and I'm not going to talk about it kind of thing. And I feel like for me, what I got out of it was, don't be vulnerable and be guarded because it's none of their business. And I bring that up because it kind of came to mind bringing it full circle. For me, it's kind of getting rid of that lie of don't ask, don't tell. I'm at a place in my life where I want to ask and I need to tell. So I feel like we got to flip that in reverse. So you're more experienced with this. Do you have thoughts on that one?
Well, I just love how you just really said that if you want people to be more vulnerable, then you first. I mean, that's it. It has to go with anything in life. We have to do our own work first before we can expect other people to do their work and change. So I think that's beautiful. All right. Anything else?
Anything that I should have answered that if I had known what was on your mind?
No, I think you did a great job. And we still have, I have my wrap up questions that I want to do, but I want to make sure that people know that your podcast, Rochester Business Connections, and then your music one, what is the name of that one?
Rochester Groovecast.
That's what it is.
So the word groove and then CAST. So Rochester Groovecast and then Rochester Business Connections.
Okay, awesome. And then your marketing company is Balbert Marketing, correct?
Yep,
and
like so, B. Albert.
B. Albert. I love it. Yeah. And then, I also want to mention one thing that I love that you do is, and I'm going to use it for this podcast, is you do professional doodle videos. I noticed that. And you sent me almost like your little cartoon guy avatar.
Sure.
And you do those. I saw that you did that for your podcast guests. I think they are really neat. So people really need to check that out. I love those. I love Bitmojis. I have my little Bitmoji. I love them. So I think they're really cute. So that's why. I thought that was really, really neat. So how do people get a hold of you? And then you also mentioned your Grata Tuesday newsletter. How do they sign up for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have a specific sign-in form. It's more just for clients and, you know, people in my network. But really, if you reach out to me on LinkedIn, it's my name, Ben Albert. We can put a link in the show notes, but Ben Albert on LinkedIn. My company is B. Albert Marketing, balbertmarketing.com. It's also 585marketing.com and rochesternymarketing.com. I got all the best domain names. The podcast is rochesterbusinessconnections.com or rochesternypodcast.com. But connect with me more specifically, I'd say on LinkedIn. I have a Calendly link that I can also give out, or I'll give it to you in moments notice if you reach out to me. I like to book a time and have a conversation with you. I probably should have one, Linda. There isn't just an opt-in form for my newsletter, but let's have a 15-minute conversation and then I'll sign you up and we'll go from there. I don't like to just funnel people into my, I want everyone in my network. I want to actually know every one of them. Eventually that might change, but I don't want to just know you from afar. Let's actually get to know each other. So LinkedIn's a good place to start for that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, very good. All right. So you ready for our finale questions here? You ready?
Sure.
Okay. So complete these sentences. The most important thing I learned or best piece of advice I received when I was younger is?
Okay, so I'm a rambler. This is going to be a small ramble, but there's a point. So when I was in elementary school, we had a light in the cafeteria, and the red light said stop. The yellow light said think, and the green light said act. So what I learned at a very young age was stop, think, act. Stop. Think for a little bit, moving slowly, and then the green is act. So I'd say stop, think, act.
Nice. Okay, next question. One lie that I wish I discovered sooner is?
We talked about a couple. Don't ask, don't tell, I think isn't always right for everybody. I think that assuming that most businesses fail is another lie that I really wish I had known sooner. I maybe have started my business sooner. And I guess another lie is just that we're fixed to whoever we were. I'm 5'7". I'm not tiny, but I'm short. I loved basketball, was very good at it, but wasn't super tall. And we're fixed to this, oh, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not big enough, or I'm not tall enough, or I'm not coming from the best family. And it does affect our lives, but I think it's a lie that you can't get out of it. So many people are successful coming from the worst of histories ever. So the lie that you're fixed to your genetics, let's get rid of it.
Okay. And next, the thing that makes you authentically you is?
So that's a really good question. I'm the kind of person that would rather you or the listener answer that for me. I don't think I'm in the place to just assert who I am. I think I'm an open-minded guy who loves to experience and loves to adventure. And I guess that's the answer, open-minded, experience, adventure. But that's more for someone to observe and help me answer. I don't think I have a good answer for that. It really, I'm nothing without the people around me. So I think it's more a team effort than Ben wouldn't be Ben with everyone else is what I'm trying to say, you know?
Okay. All right. And then last is, if you had a magic wand that would make everyone in the world believe one thing, it would be?
Nothing can be accomplished without respect. Nothing at all. It doesn't matter how good your ideas are. It actually doesn't matter if what you're saying and your data and your will is true. If you don't respect the people around you, nothing's going to get accomplished. And I see so much fighting and disagreement, and nothing gets accomplished without respect. I really wish people would realize that, because we can disagree, but I'm going to treat you with respect and do whatever I can. I think you and I, Linda, probably agree on most things, but in a lot of cases, I'm going to do whatever I can to try to meet you on your level. And if I think you're wrong, prove it. But none of that's going to happen without respect.
I think that's a great place to end. That's awesome. Ben Albert, thank you so much for the honor and the privilege that it's been to spend this time with you, and for your willingness to be in this conversation and have the tables turned on you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. You've been a pleasure as a host. I really want to see this podcast blow up into something huge, because I think you're amazing. And, you know, thanks again for having me on.
Thank you. Having this conversation with Ben about vulnerability was in and of itself vulnerable. By the end of our conversation, he was being vulnerable, and because of that, he shared invaluable wisdom from his story about his dad and don't ask, don't tell. What Ben made me realize is, in order to be bold in business or in life, we must be vulnerable. To be bold, we have to step outside our comfort zone. That takes being vulnerable. That leads to courage. By not following the lies that he grew up with, by doing what he feels is right, Ben is not only being vulnerable, he's being bold and courageous. Ben's practice of gratitude is one way to make sure our cup is filled, and that quiets the voice in our head. Remember his tips of leading with gratitude and care, giving value, and asking how you can help first. Be sure to reach out to Ben to learn more about him and his gratitude marketing. Listen to his podcasts, Rochester Business Connections and Rochester Groovecast Podcast. Please reach out to me if you'd like to talk about this, or if you have questions or a topic you'd like covered. If you're interested in coaching, set up a free coaching consultation. I'd love to help you discern whether coaching is right for you and if the time is right to get started. Go to my website, normal-lies.com, to check out the Live Inspired Life Coaching page for more information. Then click on the contact page to send me a message, or click on the blue microphone icon at the bottom right of the page, and you can leave a voicemail right there on my website. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, make it a great day.